We don't have
It's just
time to
something to
waste.
generate clicks. There's no story if he's not going to say what it was.
Well,
All it is a chance for
nobody
this
in the
guy to rehash
organization.
the
Hold on,
season.
hold on. But nobody in the organization is going to say what it was. They just say, "All right, I think we figured out what it was." They're not going to tell you.
All right, well, then how am I supposed to, why am I supposed to believe him? Tell me what it was. Tell me.
Because you gotta have faith. Because you gotta have faith. Faith. Look, I still got that bumper sticker on my car that says faith.
You're true. You're true.
That was when Aaron Brooks was still my quarterback, and somehow I had faith.
Wow.
Maybe it was misguided faith, but I had faith
You
nonetheless.
better hope Damon didn't hear you just say that, because what's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Super Dome Patrol podcast. I'm
dot
your
com.
Jeff, and my drunk scale rating's a zero. But if we were to have recorded this after the King Cake Festival and the Pelicans game on Sunday night, it would have been off the charts.
Yeah, it might have been a 10.
We are just a couple days away from the Super Bowl, and the Benson family is doing everything they can to take the spotlight off the game and put it squarely onto themselves. Which is ironic, because just a few months ago they came out and said that when Benson died, it would be a seamless and quiet transition of ownership. Well, I guess it's because he didn't die, it's not. In other news, Marshawn Lynch avoids his fines, Jimmy Graham dunks the ball, and the Pelicans have stopped floundering. We're going to try to make this episode as live and unedited as possible for your Super Bowl preview party.
Super Bowl!
Did I say?
You said Super Bowl.
And I cannot edit it. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Just the one. Trying to keep the status as is. Again, like if we had recorded 2 days ago, I'd have been like a 9, which wouldn't have been good. But today's just a 1, just because I figured you'd be a 0, Damon's going to be a 0. We got to at least be a 1. But, you know, I'm ready for the football season to be over. I've lost a lot of my excitement. So
about the Super Bowl?
Football in general. I'm just I'm over it.
Yeah, Goodell will do that to you. So, Damon, welcome to the show. I know the answer is you're just breathing heavy.
This is true.
What's your number?
0.
Oh.
Even with the extra time, he still couldn't drink a pony or two.
Yep. All right. Well, then there's no story behind that. Let's get started. So, obviously, there's no from the home, no from the dome, no game recap, no pounding the playoffs. So we'll jump all the way straight to headlines. And obviously the headline that we are going to discuss is the Benson family drama, which is so funny because that was part of our overanalyze this, kind of a random segment, before all that stuff really came out. So we're apparently like Nostradamus episode here.
It was interesting that we didn't even think they might even mention Rita, and that was
yeah.
Right, all everything came out.
Mm-hmm. And then the freaking ceiling falls off of the whole place. So, Damon, we assume that you did a lot of research on this today with the new developments. Do you want to?
And all week?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously our listeners are
Damon's our roving reporter.
Our listeners are well aware of this. Maybe some of our international listeners might not. No, but Mr. Benson had the Pelicans and Hornets set up in a trust, and for years we all assumed that Rita was going to
Pelicans and Hornets? Wow, I didn't realize he bought another NBA team.
Well, they were the Hornets when he had them. Then they were the Pelicans and the Saints. Anyway, and so we all assumed, and it was always publicly stated, that Rita was going to be the next in line after he passed away. Then last week, all of a sudden, that changed, and he left it to Gail. And then they filed the countersuit that the three R's, which is his daughter Renee, Rita Benson LeBlanc, and the son Ryan, you know, all want to have him declared incompetent. I mean, that's
spoiled
where
fucking brats.
Right, that's where we are. I mean, I'd like to discuss and get y'all's take on it. Right, is it spoiled brats? Now, I tell you this, and I don't know if I mentioned it last week. When I first heard the news, I liked it, and I text y'all this, because Gail Benson is a New Orleanian, where Rita and Renee and Ryan are San Antonians.
San Antonians.
You know, so...
Spurs fans.
Circus Hulk.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was always my fear that when they took control, you know, they could give a flying flip if our franchise stayed here. No, I know, look, the Saints are doing well in New Orleans. I don't think the NFL would let them leave. You know, I know they're in the Dome under contract for another 25 years. I mean, for another 10 years to 2025. But it did always worry me with her, you know, being next in line.
Picture.
Yeah. So I liked the Gail, you know, goings on with her being the owner. But, I mean, basically we're all stuck until this thing plays out. I mean,
and unfortunately, it's going to go to the court. It's going to be drag out in the courts, and I don't think it's going to be resolved anytime soon, which really sucks. I mean, maybe not so much in terms of the Saints, because they're going to be business as usual, but in terms – I mean, depending on how long it lingers, you know, with the Pelicans and getting free agents, and if guys start to get worried, you know, like Damon talked about last week, how you know, the Hornets' ownership was so shitty. That's why Chris left. That's why Wes left. We need the stability here to ensure – you know, to help ensure that Davis stays and we can get guys here. And to me, that's the biggest thing. That's why I'm on Team Gale, because continuity, I'm all for continuity and team staying here and the management in place. Another thing is apparently Rita doesn't get along with Mickey or Pate. So if for some reason Rita takes over, what's to say she wouldn't just fire him right off the bat? Now, I think New Orleans would revolt if that happened, but she could do whatever the hell she wants.
She could do whatever she wants.
Right,
we can't revolt. And that's another – you brought up a good point. So let's say he does get control. I mean, he just wrecks his franchise. You know, despite 2014, which is an anomaly, Peyton and Loomis were the best things that happened to us. And Breeze, you know. So that's another fear, if she is in control. And, I mean, I think last week I mentioned the 30 assistants, you know. I can tell you, and we can air this. Whenever the occasions that I have to be at the facility, and when you talk about her, I've never heard any employee badmouth her, but you know they'll all roll their eyes, and you know you could definitely tell that she was not a very liked person there.
And it's interesting. I had a guy I know. This is so New Orleans though. It's like a guy I know knows a guy who works for the law firm that works for him. So New Orleans and so back channel, but mentioned that, you know, like they, you know, within the last year or two, they got office in the facility and they were hanging around in the facility and they were basically lurking around and getting a lot of their ammo for just to kind of have it. I mean, if you think about it, the countersuit came a day after Benson's decision. So they were already gathering their stuff together. They had it ready to go. But word is, you know, they were, I don't know about snooping around, but just accumulating data, accumulating ammo to which to use in case something like this happens. Benson got wind of it, and then that's when he sent his letter late in December, basically telling them, get the fuck out.
Right.
So, on top of Rita and her assistants and just being, basically the guy just said, Rita's just batshit crazy. And when I hear something like that, I don't want anything like that.
You don't even want it in the building.
Yeah, right.
Maybe when Drew Brees said that they found out what was wrong this season and they've got the fix for it, maybe it was Rita's presence.
That's it. It's all Rita. Rita was the problem. We were 7-9 this year.
Right.
Maybe she – you remember the movie Major League? Maybe she was like the owner.
Right. So next year, once hopefully Gail wins the thing, or even if it's still going on in legal hurdles, they'll have a cardboard cutout of Rita with the pieces, and for each game they take off a piece of the clothing.
Yeah.
Right. And I did want to mention about Breeze's comments. We'll do that a little later on in another segment. But did y'all notice, like, everybody came out, or not everybody, but Jimmy Graham, Drew Breeze came out of what I think it was Twitter, or either said it on, you know, in the paper, that they love Miss Gale and she's such a nice woman, you know.
Well, of course, she's their new ball.
Right. Well, not technically. I mean,
it's what's interesting too, and even last night after the Pelicans game,
right,
Davis went out of his way to wish, because apparently yesterday was Gale's birthday. He went out of his way to wish Gale a happy birthday.
Right. Right.
So I think all the employees are behind Team Gale on this.
Well, again, if all the rumors that we're hearing about Rita would be true, I mean, you can see why. We all, and I think we mentioned it last week, you know, in 2012 when he was suspended for 3 months, you know. And did y'all see Tom Benson's letter or filing today in the court?
Well, I don't know if it was a...
I heard his he made a statement today.
He had a statement about, yes, initially he set everything up with the idea that, yes, they would take over, but he said they failed to step up, basically.
Right, right. No, that wasn't a statement. That was in response to their lawsuit. I mean, that was filed in court. That wasn't just a response.
That wasn't just a media.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't a press release. That's what his lawyer put into.
Well, good. I mean, I think we all kind of knew that, but it's good to hear him say it.
Right.
And I think, did he say it for sure himself, or was it a statement?
I mean, I think it was released through his lawyer.
Well, because I feel like if their claim is that he's mentally incapable of making decisions for himself and speaking for himself, I think he could end it all just by coming out and speaking for himself and not through. That's right. The only thing that I really feel like he's – I know it's risky because he's probably in bad health, but – if he's capable of coming out and saying, I am not mentally unstable, or you know, I still have all my faculties and I made this decision consciously and with full clarity and without influence. If he just say that, it's over.
Well, I mean, obviously it's the incompetency that, you know, they want to have the test. And in his, again, this is a, you know, this was filed today in civil district court at, you know, they asked that there's no reason that basically the attorney's response is that in the plaintiff, the three R's motion, they never give any specifics on, you know, what sort of illness he might have.
Other than eating ice cream and drinking red wine, that's
you know, but no.
Did they really say that, or is he joking?
No, they said his diet consists of candy, ice cream, and red wine.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Right. When I'm 87, I can get ice cream all the hell I want.
Right. So that, you know, so that was, you know, the attorney thing that, you know, you don't, you know, give. Tell us why you
that
think.
That is so stupid.
Right. The attorney's actual, and I mean, I'm looking at it now. And it's long, you know, how they, you know, court papers are filed very, very.
Yeah.
But at some point there, they said, you know, basically all that happened was that Mr. Benson did make a tough decision, you know, and they didn't.
They made a what kind of decision?
Did you just use the word tough?
Mike Smith making that decision for him?
No, but I mean, that's what they used, and that because the plaintiff.
Mike Smith wrote that.
Because the plaintiff didn't like it, all of a sudden he's, you know,
right, of
incompetent.
Course. Right,
right. I mean, well, it's their only shot. I mean, look, even
that's all they have.
Even though Benson came in his statement today, it's like, look, they're still going to have a shit ton of money. They're still going to be set for life. But of course, when you're dealing with $1 billion NFL franchise and over a half $1 billion.
Well, I mean, because they don't
NBA
want
franchise,
the,
you know,
Rita's not all about just the money. She wants the fame and the notoriety.
Exactly,
you're gonna fight for that. It's all fucking ego.
She wants to be seen on the sidelines and on national television
and right ESPN and all right, right. Mm-hmm. Nope, that's right, Jeff. I mean, I definitely, you know.
Well. I would say the only thing
official...
I think what bothers me about it is that if this gets played out through the off season and into the season, is it a distraction?
I mean, hopefully not, but you never. I mean, you really never know. I mean, yeah. It shouldn't affect day-to-day operations, because as long as, I mean, until anything's decided, you know, Benson and his team are still running things.
Yeah, but because the whole thing, like I said earlier, was they made it a point when Al Davis died, and they had that little, didn't they have a little squibble over who was going to get him in the Cabbage Patch Kid one?
He has not groomed himself
in a long
time. he stood up to the plate of going 5-11, and that was good enough to take over the Raiders.
You're thinking where somebody died and there was a bit of a discrepancy over who's going to get it, and that's what prompted the Saints to come out with a statement to say, or even Benson to come out with a statement to say, look, well, when I die, it's clear cut.
Right. Well, that was in response to, you had two owners dying, I think Kansas City, but then you had the Buffalo owner passing away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, but they had to sell it because he hadn't protected the team as far as tax wise. So as soon as the taxes went to his wife, the taxes were due on a $1 billion team.
Right.
Okay.
That's 600, you know, with the inheritance tax.
But they, Saints, Benson and them said even the transition of ownership will be seamless and clear.
Right.
And he never said who it was going to go to at that
no,
time.
No, he, oh.
No, he didn't.
Well, I mean, it was initially, I think it was, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it was put out there for everybody to know exclusively, but I'm sure the initial documents, the initial trust that he had set up probably was to go to the daughter and Rita.
Well, yeah, because that's what happened. He made the change.
Right.
And then that's what pushed all these dominoes over.
Yeah.
So now we're going to watch this as it plays out. Well, it gives us good topic conversation for the off season of the show to watch it as it develops. But I think most people, I would say, that I've heard call in on the radio shows and such are obviously on Benson Gale's side. And there was one guy who was for Rita, but I couldn't understand what he was saying.
And that guy is an asshole.
Well, I could barely even understand his speech. So
maybe he slept with Rita 2 years ago and he's like, ooh, I got a chance.
Maybe, but, so. All right.
But, hold on.
Anything else on it?
Well, one of the things, and I didn't want to bring this up because when it started happening last week, I was talking to a buddy, and I knew the three R's, who people who were, you know, basically being left out, were going to challenge it, because you had to challenge it while he's alive.
That's the thing. I think, you know, yeah, people are going to hate him for challenging, call him spoiled brats, but wouldn't you?
But I mean, anybody else, it's their last shot to potentially own an NFL franchise.
Right, but and not just that, but legally, if they, let's say they wouldn't have done anything and he'd have died 8 months from now, and then they'd have said, well, he was incompetent. They couldn't have won. Right, you couldn't have won in court, and the court would have asked you, well, you knew this for 8 months and you did nothing, and now he's done, so we can't, you know, we can't do anything. So that's why they had to file it very soon. But another thing that bothered me is, and I think we kind of touched on it, I mean, everything seems very rehearsed. Like you said, you know, his words that are supposedly his on the piece, you know, in documents. Yes, they're very lawyered up and very eloquent. And you say, oh, you look at Tom Benson on camera, why doesn't he come out? Tom Benson has never been an eloquent public speaker. And I mean, he hasn't. I mean, even when he was
fully capable.
Right. I mean, not, and even when he was more capable, you know? Right. And right. And that's the thing, more capable. Was he more capable 10 years ago than he is today? Yeah, probably. Yeah, because he's 80. He's 87. Not
yeah,
70.
Right. Any 77.
Yeah, no, yeah. Right, right. 80. Yes, at 87, you're less capable than you are at 57, 67. Yes, no doubt. I mean, it happens. We all get old. It happens. But that does not mean he is not capable of running his businesses and making his own decisions.
Right. I mean, look, this is his empire that he built. As far as I'm concerned, he can do whatever the hell he wants to it with it.
Right,
you know but, he's the one who earned the money, bought the franchise, built it up.
Right,
it is.
Well, and another thing, this is what I wanted. Also, someone speculated that, you know, they give Gale credit with all the philanthropy he's been doing over the last several years. You know, gave $11 million to the
Now, somebody said that before Gale married Benson, though, she was about to lose her house. Like,
well, she has. Well, and that's what they're going to, Damon's with the three R's. That's what they're going to bring up, that she was involved in lawsuits beforehand. She had bad credit. That was one of the things they brought up, just trying to paint her in such a bad way. Like,
that she was in debt and had bad credit, and that she was basically a gold digger, you know, is what they're right. I mean, that's their only use. Now, again, that might have y'all Google Robert Kraft's girlfriend, if y'all would.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, she's like 30 years younger.
Right. He's 35 and a model. An actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gale Benson isn't.
She's got a weird thing for old guys, I guess.
Old guy with $1 billion, yep.
He's got a 5-year plan.
You know, but,
But I mean, look, you could argue that the family's being gold diggers now. Like, look, they're already guaranteed to be set for life. They don't have to ever worry about money.
Right. And Benson mentioned that several times and, you know, in the releases he had, that my family will be taken care of, like I've always done.
Right, look, right. Look, like, they haven't earned fucking shit.
Right.
They haven't earned shit.
Right. And look, you know what? If I was Tom Benson's grandson and I was a multimillionaire, I might not have stepped up to the plate. I mean, you know.
I'd stay in San Antonio, run the car business, and be like, "That's fine. I get to drive a Mercedes, live in a nice house."
Right, but my point, stepping up to the plate, meaning I might not have tried the hardest. You know, I might not have been the best employee. Well, my granddad owns this, and I'm already a millionaire. What the hell am I trying so hard for? I mean,
good point.
You know, but what I was initially trying to say is that all of his philanthropy. Given $11 million to the Hall of Fame, $7-8 million to Tulane to finish their stadium that's named after him, the stadium.
Yeah, those are acts of somebody who doesn't have his mental care.
Well, but wait a second. Gave to the Catholic Church, gave to Loyola, that the family also did not like, you know,
him giving away their inheritance.
Him giving away all that money, and that, you know, that was definitely influenced by Gale, and maybe in a way to reshape his image, you know. So that could be another thing. They thought he was going to die, and they were going to sit on this, you know, that $40 million. Hell, that's, you know, $12 million apiece. You know, I mean, perhaps him giving, you know, the money away to charity. They didn't like that either.
So. Fucking ungrateful.
But it's so funny. It's so funny what a difference a day makes. 10 years ago, people were bashing Tom Benson and hated him. And, and now, don't fuck with Tom Benson, goddammit. We're all behind you, Tom. You know? I was hoping that he was going to be at the game Sunday because I wanted to see what kind of reaction the crowd would have had if they'd have.
Oh, I think he would have got a, especially considering the crowd was it was a great crowd Sunday night. Right. He would have got a great ovation.
Oh, exactly. So I was hoping that he'd have been there to, you know, so I could listen to that pop. But we'll see him in the dome next year. They'll put him up on the screen and the dome. The dome will
maybe he'll lead the first Houdant chant of the season.
There you go.
They'll wheel him out there.
You know, but again, it's so funny. 10 years ago, he was hated, and now he's beloved.
Got a whole city.
Well, you know, you saved the basketball franchise, and you win a Super Bowl. Kind of helps your image a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to move on to overanalyze this.
So I searched for some kind of music for that. Couldn't find anything that kind of fit.
All right.
But there's got to be something out there.
Well, since this one's a live show, you're just going to have to sing something.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm not much of a singer.
Overanalyze this.
Okay, stop. Hopefully, okay. Hopefully I can edit it out.
So
I think 20 people just hit stop on the recording.
Oh, all right. Deflate gate. Let's overanalyze it. Is
okay,
there
can we not call it fucking gate? Can we stop adding gate to every single controversy, please? Call it anything but that.
I actually agree with you on that.
It's so stupid.
Everything's gate. Yep.
So the media.
Hold on, Jason. Don't answer this. Jeff, you do know why they do that, right?
Is a Watergate.
Right, okay. Jason, I had confidence would know that.
It's so Jeff, stupid.
Jeff, I have little confidence.
Yeah, but Jeff's
hey,
more
fuck
political.
You, buddy.
Well, Jason, did you know it?
Well, of course. Come on.
Fuck. All right.
We're all old enough to know. We were taught Watergate in school.
Exactly. All right. So, speaking of deflated balls, without diving into that that we did the other episode, which was fun. Is there any new development since we talked about it on the show?
Oh, there's been plenty.
I don't remember what we talked about.
You had the press conferences from Belichick and Brady,
that's right.
Basically denying everything. Then you had Robert Kraft coming up and said, "Yeah, prove it." He's basically NFL owes us an apology.
Right, thank you. That's what the
and just being defiant, which is crazy because him and Goodell are like BFFs. Well, and then was it yesterday they came out that they basically a ball boy is a quote unquote person of interest.
Right. Oh
like,
my god!
Because,
like really?
Go ahead. Well, no, you heard about the video, right?
Well, right. Supposedly, there's now, heaven forbid they try to get a Ray Rice video. They can't find that, but they can get video of a Patriots ball boy taking the footballs into the bathroom.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. He was only in the bathroom for 90 seconds.
Right.
You can't.
But, right. So, they're basically just pinning it on the ball boy.
Right. They're going to
get away with this.
I don't know how. This.
And here's the thing. Since when is proof ever necessary in Roger Goodell's deciding to do anything?
Mm.
Well, it's not. And that's, look, whether two wrongs make a right in terms of, well, if we got fucked, then somebody else needs to get fucked just as bad.
Well,
but
hold on. I mean, here's the thing, and you mentioned it, the Robert Kraft, Roger Goodell BFF
relationship. I mean, they basically spoon each other.
Right. I mean, even Richard Sherman said something about it at Media Day. I did see his quote. I'm sure we all seen that. But also, if you go back and look at Spygate, all of the evidence for Spygate was shredded.
It was destroyed.
Before anybody saw anything. So we don't know what else happened with that. How rampant the videotaping was. You know, they only claim it was one game.
Shredded by the Jets. NFL or by the
Yes,
NFL?
Yes. The,
yeah,
NFL
the NFL
destroyed the evidence.
Right. Yes.
Destroyed
NFL
it.
Destroyed the evidence. They saw the evidence, came to a conclusion, and destroyed it.
Right.
That's weird.
Destroyed the tape, destroyed everything. All right? And, I wasn't so upset after Bountygate, and I didn't, put the two together. So now this comes out. Now this is the second time one team.
Wait,
has
did he destroy the cocktail napkin that he got that he hung the Saints on?
Right.
Wiped his nose with it.
The handprint. Right. But so I mean, this really puts. I don't know, man. You have to see what happens. If nothing happened to the Patriots or a slap on the wrist, I mean. It's incredible. Belichick has to be suspended for a year because Sean Payton's whole reason was if he didn't know, he should have.
Right.
It's just that simple.
Yep.
You know,
and draft pick away.
Right. And look, and on the record, I don't know what the hell the Patriots were doing. For all I know, every team in the league deflates the balls after they're measured. You know, just like every team in the league had a pay for performance program.
Right.
You know,
but like they told us, you got caught.
Right. You know, just like and did y'all read the article from Commissioner Tagliabue?
Yeah, that article in GQ. Yeah.
Right.
That he doesn't talk to Goodell since Bounty Gate anymore.
Right. No, the Goodell was like, "How dare you not agree with me?" Like the arrogance on Goodell on the NFL's part is just continually stunning.
Well, and Tagliabue had some very he had a great explanation or example of what could have been handled right with this deflated balls. Whereas instead of how he handled the Saints, where what you said, everybody had it going, you know, everybody had some sort of pay for performance, but if I hammer this team so hard, everybody will stop. The NFL shouldn't have made this big rigmarole out of this deflated balls and should have went to the Patriots and quietly told them, look, we know what you're doing. Stop doing it. And, you know, the controversy goes away or never even never surfaces. Because, look, this is a distraction to the Super Bowl.
Well, right. I think what you're saying, instead of doing this investigation and drawing it out, they should have been like, look, because here's the thing. They checked the balls, and they made both teams use the same balls after halftime. Like, it was addressed. It was dealt with. It was handled. And then the game resumed in halftime. And even so, it didn't affect the outcome of the game because Tom Brady went 9 for 9 and like threw another 3 touchdowns. The Patriots outscored the Colts just in the half that they used the same balls.
Right.
So it didn't affect the outcome of the game. The outcome of the game was still legit, and you would have had no issue. The NFL should have just come out and said, yeah, we checked it, we measured it, boom.
It was right. And
it's Roger Goodell just doesn't know how to handle stuff.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's it. I mean, all these PR nightmares are just he's a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how. And then it was suggested by someone that basically the NFL, did you see this? Did you see hear about this?
That segment's not till later.
All right, but no, I'm trying to look at the Twitter, which I just had, and I hold on, I'll cut this out. Okay, here.
Wait, I can't cut it out.
It's live.
What do you mean it's live?
We're not editing this week. It's just going straight on the.
Jeff wants to go live.
Go live! Fuck it, I'll do it live. did y'all get that reference?
No.
It's a famous.
Was it during Watergate?
No, it's a famous Bill O'Reilly when he was on the on Inside Edition. It's one of the rants they caught, you know, when the camera's not on, but he's ranting. So just Google Bill O'Reilly going live if you want to see.
He had his own between the segments.
Okay, I have better things to do with my time.
Anyway, Ed Werder of ESPN said, when told of suspected cheating by Pats, NFL tried to catch them in the act rather than reminding them of rules. There's something wrong with that. So basically, this guy's insinuating or reporting that the NFL tried to set up a sting on the Pats to catch them cheating, which just seems so ridiculous. And that's where I get they should have gone to them and told them something, because apparently there had been some other reports about
well,
it's just, I mean, you can't ever expect the NFL to do anything right.
No, it's horrible.
Not with Roger Shidell.
No, it is horrible, and that's
wrong. You don't set like how do you expect to earn the respect of the players and the 32 teams?
Yeah,
if you mistrust them and sting them instead of
they clearly don't
send them. You send a memo to the front office and say, "Hey, you guys, people are saying that you're doing this. We're gonna put you under more scrutiny at this point. So you need to make sure that your nose is clean."
Exactly.
Because I don't want to have to do something. I'm giving you fair warning. If you're doing something, stop now.
Yeah, I really can't understand how this bozo has a job.
But and this was one of the things that was brought up that Tagliabue brought up in terms of running a good league, just relationships and whatnot. Goodell has done such a piss poor job, but he's made them a shit ton of money. The league has grown.
But it's not him.
I agree.
Rita could have been at the helm and made the money.
Except she would just sort of fired 30 assistants, but she still would have made them a bunch of money.
Right.
But
it's,
right,
it
I mean,
has nothing to do with him. It's fantasy football. It's the digital age. It's the television
it's
ability
just,
to cover football games. It's nothing to do with him.
I totally agree. I totally agree. And another thing in the GQ article was, you know, Robert Kraft was one of the guys who fought for his Goodell's high pay package. And
right.
That was one of the reasons they mentioned after Bounty, Benson hopped off like a bunch of committees because he didn't agree with the way Bounty was handled. He didn't agree with Goodell's pay package.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice if Benson could have come out and made a statement saying how disgusted. Now, I know he came out and said
maybe
he was
it's
disappointed.
In his, maybe in his will when he dies.
But I mean, if he would have came out and said how disgusted he was, like Kraft's comments yesterday about how we demand an extreme apology and and whatever, that would have been a little nice.
Good old pay package. Is it $44 million a year?
Well, it was the last year. Like I think
it was okay.
He probably gets a base, and then depending on how they do, they'll vote him like, all right, you get a $30 million bonus.
Oh my
base,
god!
It's like maybe
million.
$15 million, and then the owners vote on his bonus, basically.
Okay, I mean that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was also that.
It just that happened to be
okay. That, okay, all right. That,
last
that
year
was...
happened to be 44.
Okay.
Okay. Where are we at? Are we in overland analysis? Okay.
Red fuck Roger Goodell.
I'm going to move us on to NFL reach around. And again, because we're live, there's no music. So Marshawn Lynch attends Media Day, and all he says is, I'm here so I don't get fined. I love it. and then, so of course, it brought up the talking heads asking, should a player be forced to talk to the media?
I mean, I don't know. It is media day. It's kind of the big.
He didn't even want to go. They made him go.
Well, right. It's tradition. I mean, what do you?
So
look, I love. It sucks because I want to hate Seattle, but man, when he does that stuff, it's hard not to like the guy. You know.
I mean, I understand. Look, part of your big contract, you know, as far as a sports guy, I mean, it's kind of assumed that yes, you know, we need media buzz around, you know, these teams. Yes, you do have to talk to the media. I mean, I'm sorry. You do.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm on his side in this. The media, a lot of times, is not really interested in just covering straightforward. They're trying to catch him saying something. They're going to twist his words. He probably doesn't want to be wrapped up in anything. I just, you know, if I'm speaking for him, I might say, I'm just here to play, focus on the game, play football, and win another Super Bowl. That's all I'm interested in. And you got to respect the guy for that. Because you got all these little media gimmicks. They want him to say something so they can tweet it.
Well, I mean, that's what Media Day is.
Create a controversy out of it.
Right. Get anybody to say, you know, I mean, that's why you got.
Case in point, I read a tweet. I still haven't found any context around it, but some asshole tweeted that Rob Ninkovich said that during his time with the Saints, he didn't believe a word they said. That is literally all I could find.
Well, then I saw another tweet that said Ninkovich, Jonathan Casillas credited the Saints with turning him, you know, making him become more professional. Because he's with the Patriots now, so I mean, whatever. I don't care about Media Day.
I'm curious. I'm curious to what the hell
the Ninkovich. I know. I'm like obsessed with it. I've been searching for some kind of context.
Yeah, I mean,
and I can't find it. So I want to know why this guy tweeted it. I guess I could tweet him back and be like, "Please provide context."
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Like, what? And then I went. The other article that I read was where Ninkovich was actually talking about how he loves New Orleans and it's his favorite city because that's where he met his wife. So I don't know. Like Jason said, Media Days, if you really think about it, I mean, these are the things that they're reporting, which means no player said anything of any value.
I'm ready for
so
this.
So the whole day, like you, well, and you said, it's tradition. Well, I know that's all it is tradition of not do it. It's, you know what the best thing to come out of Media Day is? Things like Jimmy Kimmel and the comedy stuff that comes out of it. Doing funny stuff for the next
right.
week.
I remember there was the one year where Cousin Sal dressed up and pretended to be the Panthers punter.
Right.
Walked around Media Day trying to tell people it was the Panthers, because it's a fucking punter. I mean.
Yeah. But again, I mean, look, Media Day, I mean, is covered, you know, internationally by more Yahoos than you know what to do with. I mean,
oh, yeah, Google's there, too. See what I did there?
I did.
You said Yahoos.
I got it. I got it.
All right, moving along. I'm going to throw a little, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? If I said the name Delvin Bro.
He sounds Jason, like he's Jason, from the River Parishes.
Jason, I'm sure you know, but Damon, I don't have any confidence in you. Do you know who Delvin Bro is?
I mean,
he is from here. He played, I believe, high school ball here. Been playing in the Canadian League.
Mm-hmm. And
we signed him to a 3-year deal.
Yep. He hasn't played football for how many years?
He was in the Canadian League last year, right?
He hasn't played football for 6 years.
Wait, what? No.
Delvin Bro.
That can't be right.
Yeah, he had like 3 fractures in his spine or somewhere.
Oh, but it's not like he hasn't played the last. You made it sound like he hasn't played football in the last handful of years. Like, he's missed time with injuries over the course of his complete football career, correct?
Let's see. Nearly 9 years after a neck injury appeared to end his career in high school.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Right.
Delvin Bro's coming home, agreeing to sign a free agent contract with the Saints.
That's so misleading, man.
Spent the last 2 seasons as a cornerback with the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Right. So he played the last 2 years in Canada. So don't say where? Oh, he hasn't played in the next in Canada.
In 6 years. You said he hasn't played in 6 years, Jeff.
Well, that's what the first headline said.
Jeff, you said he hasn't played in 6 years.
Yes, because that's what the first clicks. Headline that I read said.
Well, and Roger Goodell said the Saints had a bounty program.
Did you believe that? It's just proof even more that
that idiots believe whatever they read?
Or idiots put stuff online that intentionally mislead you.
To mislead other idiots? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Anyway, hopefully he's the answer. I mean, I tell you what, I don't care. I haven't seen him play.
But wait, I want to ask Jason, where did he play?
In Canada.
I haven't seen him play, but I guarantee you he's better than Corey White and P-Rob.
That's right.
I mean,
Well, and that's what I was excited about, was I was really hoping he hadn't played in 6 years so that we could say a dude who hasn't played football in 6 years is going to replace Corey White.
So, well, I mean, well, you know, nobody's supposedly he was an all-star in Canada, but no, I can't imagine anybody has actually seen him play, so nobody knows. We'll just have to see. But obviously, hopefully it can't be worse than Corey White.
Well,
I mean, even with signing this guy, we still need to probably draft another guy,
right?
Or other free agent. It's still a position of need, clearly.
I do have to say, if you know, with the biggest hole being the secondary, if the move you make is to sign a guy from to sign Delvin Bro in his I think we might need to do a little bit more than that.
Well, I mean, he does have a Louisiana-sounding name.
Of course. And we do have a rich tradition of success with hometown guys.
Not always. Where did you get that from?
Michael Lewis. Keenan Lewis. Ooh, your last name has to be Lewis.
Well, that's his problem. He needs to be like Delvin Bro Lewis.
Yeah. Okay. That's that segment. Let's have a little bit of Pelican play.
Wait a second before you pull it. No, it's not too late. There are 2 things you missed that happened. Yeah, dummy. You mentioned it earlier, but I said I wanted to get back and talk about it.
Do you think Pelican Plunge is the last thing?
Well, because Pelican Plunge is always the last thing before Pick'ems.
Before Pick'ems, yeah, he's got a point.
Drew Brees came out and said...
All right, everybody out of the water. Damon still wants to talk.
Drew Brees came out and said that he, you know, identified the problems that hurt us in 2014.
Uh-huh. Oh, you missed when me and Jason talked about this before you.
Well,
go on.
Well, screw you. Anyway, I mean, so did y'all? So what did y'all talk about? Did you talk about it on air? Or
no, we just mentioned that we heard, you know, there was the MMQB article about Breeze, and he said, yeah, it was such a disappointing season. He hates the word talent because at the beginning.
Right. Okay, but anyway. Yeah. So what he determined, what he said, is that the thing you can't lose track of is those guys in the locker room, those guys as leaders, their presence. I just wanted to say we had talked about that earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wanted to point that out. So if you listen to the Don't Patrol podcast,
we figured this shit out.
Right. You know.
Way before. Yeah, we broke the Benson story before it ever came.
Right. I mean, you really need to start listening to us. Because we're a couple of weeks ahead of everybody.
We always are.
You know? I just wanted to give us a pat on the back for our hard-hitting analysis. You know? And then the other
thing... You know why? It's because we prepare for the show.
Well, right. One of us does.
Hey, that's all you need.
I prepare. I just have bad information. bad source material.
All Jeff reads is headlines.
That's Twitter right there.
Right. And clickbait.
And then the other thing on Brian Brodos on the Cowboys official website thinks that Mark Ingram could be an option to replace DeMarco Murray.
Oh.
Huh. I guess, well, yeah, because they're going to.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, they're going to have the choice of Dez or DeMarco. I got to think they're going to, if they had to choose just one, they're going to pick Dez.
Oh, yeah, you keep the receiver.
And you can replace the running back.
Right. So.
And you know what? Ingram, I think, would be good behind that line and with that offense.
I think he'd be great behind that line.
I'd rather not see him go to. I don't want to see him go to the Cowboys. But
downer here.
I mean, that is. I mean, no, that's the big key free agent choice. We're gonna have to. We got to see what happens. How much money we can put aside. I mean, he's at the Pro Bowl. He said he wanted to come back. So
and that the Saints have told him they want him back.
Right.
Well, they want him back, but do they want him back for as much as Dallas offers him?
That's the whole thing. You know, will Dallas overpay?
That's how the NFL works.
We'll see.
All right. Well, we are going to pay close attention to that. But something you just mentioned, if you're done with the Mark Ingram commentary, the Pro Bowl, I forgot to bring up.
Well, y'all can. I didn't watch a single second of it, so y'all can fucking talk about it. Anybody who watched the Pro Bowl is a loser.
I didn't watch it, but I did hear about Jimmy Graham's touchdown and dunk, and Drew Brees lost yet another game. It's just a bad year for Drew.
It was interesting. I think Matt Ryan threw the winning touchdown to Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
It
wasn't the winning touchdown. It was like in the first half still.
We were all at the Pelicans game Sunday. I had forgotten the game was on. Mm-hmm. The only reason I knew is when I walked into the club section, they had it on TV. You know, so then we went at walk-ons, and they had it playing. So I wasn't watching it, but it was, you know, I'm in a sports bar and it's on every TV. You know, so
you were kind of watching it,
right? But it only thing I have to say, it was fun to watch a Jimmy dunk. That was.
And you didn't know it was coming, huh?
Right. I mean, so that was fun to watch Jimmy Graham dunk the football over the goal post again, and that was the highlight of my Pro Bowl. and the Pro Bowl, my buddy and I were talking about this today. It now they do it in a fantasy football type draft.
Yeah.
So it's Team Carter and Team Irvin. And you know, I mean the Pro Bowl always blew, but you know, I'm an NFC guy, so I'd always pull for the NFC. You know, having these two jacklegs.
Jacklegs.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it, you know, who do I pull for? I mean, you said Jimmy Graham and Mark Ingram on one team.
Drew Brees on another.
Drew Brees on another. So, I mean.
Don't pull for anybody. Don't care. Just pull for your players.
Right. You know, right. So pull,
right,
I mean,
pull for Jimmy to have a dunk.
I mean, well, the ratings were down. There was some of the lowest ratings ever for the Pro Bowl. What they need to do is just...
You know why?
They screw playing a game. Turn it into like a skills competition. Like, I would watch a skills
competition. Oh, I'd love that. That was always...
Because they used to actually do it, and somehow they got rid of it. But just turn it into a... You know, you could still do team, but do teams of... And just do skills competitions.
They'd be better off doing the lingerie bowl or something at that time.
But just, you know, don't... I'm not going to watch a all-star game, Pro Bowl, where guys don't need to tackle. And I don't want anybody to tackle. I mean, remember there was a Pro Bowl where Breeze got injured and we thought it could have been like a really serious injury. And I was pissed. Like, all that over a game that means nothing. Like, at least then it was in Hawaii. Now it wasn't even in Hawaii. It was in friggin' Arizona. Site of the Super Bowl.
I think part of it, too, is I thought – I would, and I kind of do like the fantasy football element of it, but I think part of the problem is, like, I don't know that many people really actually like Chris Carter and Michael Irvin. Like, you know,
well,
what
we
I
know
mean?
Damon doesn't. You just call him Jack Legs,
right? But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe if you got somebody a little bit more likable to coach.
I don't think. Yeah, well,
they're not.
I don't think that has anything.
They're
to do
not
with
coaching.
It.
I mean,
no.
I know, but
all they do is pick. It has nothing to do with.
Well,
it.
Well, I mean, they have a special on NFL Network or whatever, you know, where they pick the teams live.
Mm-hmm. That probably gets more viewers than the game itself.
Oh, well, Damon, did you read the mock Pro Bowl drafts?
you're making that up now.
I know, but you know, actually, you know what? It wouldn't shock me to see somebody have done that.
Mel Kiper.
If they have, you tell
somebody,
me, and I will kill those people. I will find them and I will kill them.
You go American Sniper on them.
Yeah. Which I saw the other day, a great movie.
All right.
Spectacular movie. If you haven't seen it, folks, go see American Sniper. Chris Kyle is a true American hero. It is awesome. It is a great movie. So do yourself a favor. Go out and see that.
I saw Birdman the other day. I recommend that, too.
Right, we're in a live show trying to talk about football here.
That's why I squeezed in my Birdman comment.
All right, Birdman. All right, you Falcon fan.
No, fuck. I'm a Pelican fan.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right. Speaking of birds, it's the Pelican Plunge.
Man, so many things to talk about on the Pelican Plunge this week.
It's one. I don't think they're floundering.
They're on a four-game winning streak. That would hardly define floundering, right?
I think they're definitely not aimlessly swimming anymore.
Nowhere in the official dictionary of floundering does it say does not go on four-game winning streaks. but it was night. We were all in attendance Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas game, which was
a spectacular game,
just maybe the best game of the season, especially crowd-wise.
It had to be. I mean, there couldn't have been another game this season that was that exciting.
And that's, you know, what I had harped upon in November and December, and everybody said, oh, once football season's over, we're fine. But, man, I miss the arena, the Smoothie King Center being like that. It's just awesome to experience a game like that. And then to come out and win. Like, I didn't realize we hadn't beat Dallas in
9 games.
I couldn't believe it. I figured at some point we'd had to beat them, but, I mean, I guess so. I mean, we obviously,
Sunday.
Yeah, we haven't been very good. It was such an awesome game too.
Would you say we'd been floundering against Dallas?
Oh no, we had actually. Yes, we had been floundering against Dallas. 9 straight losses to me means floundering.
But no, yeah. So Sunday's game, and look, you know, last night they destroyed the 76ers, and even though they. The closer games are a more fun game, obviously. You know, it really is. I mean,
the starters didn't even play the fourth quarter last night.
Right. Dallas, I mean, we kept the lead the whole game. Every time we got it up to 10 twice, and they'd come right back and get it close. I mean, I don't think they had taken the lead in the game.
Not until late in the fourth quarter.
So, right,
the Ellis just started going nuts.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they had the lead the whole game, and then they came back, and then they took the lead, and then we take it back, and then they take it back, and we and it was back right. and forth within the last probably like 3 minutes of the game.
And look, I mean, I'll say this, and Well, I'll preference it. Anthony Davis is definitely in the discussion for the best player in the NBA.
Yeah. And you don't even see it, like, even at the game last night, he made just a handful of plays that, like, I don't think anybody else in the NBA could have made some of the plays he made last night. It's just incredible to watch. It's incredible to watch him.
The difference when he is in the game and not, even just the other guy's game being elevated.
I mean, it is amazing how much of a difference he makes. It really is. He's clearly in the MVP discussion.
Oh, you remember that play last night with the finesse that he?
Right. I mean, he steals turned. The ball, goes down, almost loses it, spins, goes through two defenders, and then still somehow manages to lay it up. It was just incredible. Like,
he picked the ball up like it felt like from the 3-point line, and just like the 2 steps from the 3-point line to the. I don't know.
No other guy that's 6'10" could have made the play that he made last night.
No.
Nobody.
No. He is.
You know how clumsy I would be if I was 6'10"?
You would have fallen over before you hit midcourt.
Like the French guy.
Right. It was kind of funny. At some point in the game, we looked over, 4 white guys and a French guy.
Right.
And that was our lineup. Like, that's how good the Stars
It looked like the New Orleans Jazz from the 1960s.
Right. I mean, that's how good, you know, we had played. I mean, Davis had 30 and 10 in 3 quarters of play. Tyreek Evans didn't score a lot, had all these assists. The team has just played and shared the ball. They just seem to be playing more team basketball the last handful of games.
And why is that?
Coaching. It takes time to figure it out. I mean, a lot of these, think about these guys still have not played more than 100 games together when you factor in all the injuries we had last year.
Well, I think Anthony Davis, by nature, is a team guy. He's not a selfish player.
I almost wish he was a little more selfish, but that'll come. Just because he's clearly the best player on the team, you know, it's going to come to a point where at the end of the games, he's going to take over.
He recognizes that he draws these defenders in, and he's got like four other guys that are wide open.
And I tell you what's been great. I mean, Eric Gordon has been playing phenomenal since he's come back from injury. I mean, if this is the Gordon that we're going to get, you know, the rest of the way and hopefully throughout his career here, I want him here. Like, he has played phenomenal basketball. He's made a ton of shots. He's played. I mean, I haven't seen him play this way since he's been here. And it's great to watch. I mean, this is the guy we all thought we were getting in the trade. And it's just been great. It's been.
Look, all right, let's have him keep it up.
I mean, look, four games streak now. We got still on a big homestand before Mardi Gras. We got the Nuggets tomorrow. Should be a win. And then you got the Clippers Friday. You got the Hawks Monday. You got Oklahoma City the following Wednesday. I mean, those are 3 tough teams. So it's not going to be easy, but
they're
man.
Tough.
They're tough teams.
That's right. That's right. I said it.
Mike Smith, coach, can I take it?
Look,
well, he ain't coaching the Falcons.
I mean, if they could, I mean, I don't expect them to win all the games, but man, if for some crazy reason they win the rest of the games on this homestand, I mean, dude, they'll be 7, 8, 9 games above 500 and right.
And still in last place in the division.
God damn it. Yeah, we will still be
there. That sucks.
But still, but we'll be in. Well, that's the stupid fucking Western Conference. That's just. Yeah. That's in a whole nother debate. But look, they'll be. I mean, they're only like a game and a half or 2 games behind Phoenix for the 8th slot. So, I mean, they're right there. Just go in a little run.
Is it possible for an entire division to make the playoffs?
Yes, it definitely is. Definitely is.
All right, so let's
hold on. I got one final Pelican Plunge thing.
All right.
I hope y'all saw it. They came out with a commercial today.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Go YouTube NOLA Special Man commercial.
Is it the Let 'Em Have It?
The Pelicans did their own. It's a promotion for a handful of games.
Did Courtney have anything to do with that?
I don't think so. He said he saw it, but I don't think he had anything to do with it. But it's a take on the old New Orleans, the Special Man, Frankie and Johnny's Furniture commercials. It was hysterical. It was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Is it the actual people from the commercial too?
No, just why? Don't ask questions. Go watch it. How you have the internet,
well,
right?
We have to finish the show.
Well, you might have to edit it out 30 minutes or make him play like elevator music or some shit.
I'll watch
it. But anyway, it was a phenomenal commercial. Much props to him. It was fucking hysterical. Anthony Davis as a special man was awesome. And just it's a big promotion. I mean, three games for $24 against three playoff teams. I mean, look, people, if you don't buy your tickets to the game, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, this city's stupid. That's all I can say. God, that's some way to end the Pelican.
I know.
This city is
fucking
stupid.
Call everybody fucking stupid. What
well, hey.
Yeah, well, they haven't not bought the tickets yet. Let them have it.
Let them have it. They got to see the special man. Nope. Thank you. That's right. I did it.
Okay, let's move on to Pick'ems.
Okay, well, since we recapped last week, y'all know where we stand.
Yes.
So, now we have the Super Bowl.
Ooh, what game's he gonna play? What's the shitty game of the week?
The Super Bowl? Actually, that should have been the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. We
should have do any pick'em for the Pro Bowl.
Missed opportunities.
No. Get a shitty game last week, and then, damn it. All right.
Okay, so Damon has to pick before me.
Well,
No.
Hold on. Yes, yes.
I'll
go first.
No, I'm not.
The Patriots are favored by a point.
Patriots favored by 1 point because they can't cheat.
It's a pick'em for pick'ems.
Look, I will go first. I am going to take New England. I mean, it's really, I'm pulling for the lesser of two evils. As much as, considering everything that's happened, I don't want to see Robert Kraft host another Super Bowl trophy, but I don't want Seattle to win back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see Seattle host another Super Bowl trophy.
Oh, so I guess we know who you're pulling for.
We all know who we're pulling for. The question is, who's he picking?
Right.
Well,
right.
I made the executive decision that Damon has to make his choice.
And no one gives a fuck what you do, so...
Yeah, he is. He gets to choose. It's his
segment. My segment. I do whatever I want.
Well, I'm not picking.
It's only fair. You're going
to
be a bitch.
If you don't pick first, I'm giving you automatic loss.
I don't know.
There you go. I like that.
Hey, I can do whatever. This is my segment. You
can say whatever you want to say, but the truth will still be the same.
Okay, make your pick.
Well, the truth will still be the same.
All right, well, then I'm just going to end the show. Y'all will never know who Damon or me picks because I will not pick until...
There we go.
It was funny, though. I can make up my own picks that y'all took.
Right. I'll tell you, Jason, in private who I'm picking.
And I'll write it down, and give it to you later.
Oh, why don't we do it that way?
Yeah, do it that way.
I'm willing to compromise.
Okay, yeah, do it that way.
Each make our secret picks.
God, this is like a master game of
chess. Wait. Hold on. Wait a second. We can both text Jason right now.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to Skype him.
Well, you can't Skype him. I can see you when you Skype you.
No, don't. I can Skype him on his own.
Oh, Jesus.
Just how texting works.
You know, it is interesting how it works because I think Jeff is going to assume that Damon is picking New England, but what if Damon picks Seattle?
You fucking asshole.
You know? Like, things
you
could
can. Take... I picked already. I sent my pick in.
Oh, all right.
I'm not overthinking it. I'm not worried about what Damon picks. I'm picking my pick.
Okay.
I'm playing my game.
Huh, okay.
See?
All right. Very interesting.
I ain't scared. I got nothing to lose.
Okay. Well, then go ahead. Oh, fuck.
You sent it to everybody?
No, I sent it just you.
Oh!
Wait, I didn't send my pick in.
All right. He's retracting it.
Okay, it's done.
Who did he pick?
I'm taking the Pats. With a point, I'm taking the Pats. I'm at the Pick'em game. That's the best you can get. That's awesome.
Yep, I took Seattle.
All right, then. We're going to have a little game here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think with that, Jeff's actually under the gun that way. I mean, I think the Pats will win this game.
Come on, yeah. I mean, come on, Pats.
I actually think they will. Okay, anything left? Final thoughts? This is a long one. Even live, it's long.
It's an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, it ain't that bad.
Yeah, but for a live show without any music? This is Damon's favorite show of the year. No music.
Wonderful.
I'm ready to be to not deal with the NFL for a little while. I'm ready to take a break from the NFL. I really am. Hopefully there'll be some good commercials this year. It seems like recent years have. It's not like it used to be. Like it seemed like, man, the commercials were always so good, and the last handful of years they've been kind of like meh.
Because they're desperate.
Well, just I mean, how many more things can you do? People are just running out of ideas.
Right. And in the absence of creativity, they use sex, which is cool sometimes, but, you know, it's cliche when it comes to Super Bowl ads.
At some point, they got to start giving out a little anal.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the Clydesdale horses are going to do something sentimental.
I thought they retired. I thought Budweiser retired the horses from Super Bowl commercials.
Oh, well, then maybe they won't. Okay, then the Coca-Cola polar bears will.
But someone
actually,
always.
You know what's going to happen? The Coca-Cola polar bears are going to promote their movie.
Oh, God.
They have a movie?
Yep.
Are you shitting me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you are shitting him?
No, I'm not shitting you.
Ugh.
I'm not shitting anyone.
Okay, the people who go see that movie are losers.
You go and see an advertisement. A 2-hour advertisement for Coca-Cola.
These are probably the same people. They take time off from doing their mock draft to go watch the fucking Coca-Cola polar bear movie.
Yep.
Yep. I'm sure Doritos is going to do something like, ooh, bursting or something.
I should walk into the polar bear movie with a giant.
Danica Patrick is going to do a GoDaddy commercial. It's all the same shit year after year. Oh, I'm sure E-Trade is going to have that stupid talking baby.
Shouldn't he be an adult by now?
Actually, I think they did change over the baby to like a cat or something last year.
I don't remember, but yeah, I mean, you're right. The last couple of years, the commercials have not been really
great.
Yeah, so... But I do think we'll get a. I mean, these are two good teams. I think we'll get a good game.
You know what'll be interesting? That if Seattle does win this game, they will have beaten Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Kind of like we beat Brett Favre and Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget Kurt Warner.
And Kurt Warner
either. Yeah.
And Tom Brady in the regular season.
Yeah.
So no matter what they do, they still haven't done that. But, I mean, I just think it's interesting that the two Super Bowls that the Seattle would have won if they win were against the two guys who
are the top two quarterbacks in the league, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of like the Manning-Brady thing. Like, Manning went last year, but Brady didn't. Now Brady's gone and Manning's not.
Yeah. Well, so if Brady beats them, does he have something else to hold over Peyton's head?
Well, he's already got plenty over Peyton. I mean, he's... Yep.
Actually, also, that was a stupid thing for me to say. Like, there's no way that Manning and Brady could be in the same Super Bowl.
You know what he has over Peyton? A model wife who's worth $400 million. On top of his extra Super Bowl rings.
He's got a lot over Peyton.
Yeah. A smaller forehead.
But Noah... I'll echo Jason's thought there that, yeah, I am ready for the NFL season to be done on top of how we played and then Seattle getting back to the Super Bowl and now this whole, you know, deflated footballs. I mean, you've underwhelmed me in 2014.
All of football has. Yeah. Well, hopefully 2015 will be better. I mean, you say you can't wait to be rid of football for a little bit, but we do have a show to record next week. So.
Pelicans, baby. Pelicans. We're going to keep the streak going.
Well, we'll have the Pelicans. We'll have Super Bowl. And we'll
still
have
got all your Benson drama going
right,
on.
Right, right. There's plenty. And off-season moves.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're not getting away from football.
Well, I'll get away from it for a while.
All right.
I just mute myself.
There you go. And that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading every week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast.
And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, on Android, or on Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, NFL donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
I'm gonna wreck it!